The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
We spent about 10 to 15 minutes there testifying about the love of Jesus, didn't we? But the love of Jesus, the love that we should have for each other, people that we're people of Jesus, people of the Lord, we need to act like, look like, behave like Him. And there's times that we don't do that. There's times that we find ourselves acting a little bit more like the devil than we do like Jesus. Do y'all agree with that? Yeah, it's a common thing in culture. Today we're going to be in Matthew 18. We're going to wrap up that chapter. Talked a little bit about the beginning of that chapter last week. And then Wednesday night Bible study, we discussed the middle part of it, and we're in the end parable of that chapter in the sermon today. Now, I have a good friend that he is one of those kind of farmers that keeps things in order. Not everybody keeps things in order around their farm. They have their equipment kind of scattered and maybe parked oddly, and I probably lean more to that side. He leans to the side where everything's got a place, and it's got to be in its place, and that's how he keeps up with it. And that transfers out of the barn into the garage. You go into the garage, it's clean too. It's got things that are, it's easy to park in. It's you could actually throw a couple of tables out there and have a dinner if you wanted to. It's that kind of place. You go inside the house, and the house is follows up on that, because I got a feeling the reason everything's in order is because of his wife. She's in order. That house is in order from the beginning to the end. You walk in one room, it's going to be about the same as the next room. It's going to be clean, and things are going to have its place. And I can only envy that lifestyle. I think we can approach it, but we don't quite get there. But often I've had him say to me, "Yeah, but you should see the closets." And he's not exaggerating. He's not joking about it. He is joking about it, but he's not trying to be mean about it. He's saying, we have taken all the extra things, all the stuff that doesn't have a place in our life, and we've pushed it into the closets. Now, I got a feeling there are going to be more people in this room that have closets like that. You're going to have places that everything gets put and stuffed, and they become really unusable for anything. I've got, we're people that live in Louisiana, and we've lived in Louisiana for a long time, 20 years, and I don't know anybody that owns more puffy jackets than I do. I have an addiction. What's that? Do you have puffy jackets? I'm addicted to them. I worked in that industry for a long time, in the ski industry, so every time I see one I like, I want one. I got several different brands, but I'm really addicted to Sam's, when Sam's puts Eddie Bauer puffy jackets and vests on sale. There are not enough days of the week that I can wear all the ones that I own, so I've been trying to give them all away. But that closet is so crammed full of things, it's not usable. Can't get to anything that's in there because there's so many coats. We're going to talk about cramming your life full of things that need to be let go today. We do that. We have things we hold on to that have become so powerful in our life, they dictate our lifestyle and the way people see us. There are people that you see that you know, and I bet if I were to ask you to raise your hand and give me a name, I don't want you to do that, but if I were to ask you to raise your hand and give me a name of somebody in your life that is grouchy and bitter almost every time that you contact them. Oh, we got a hand up. I see that hand. I should have given an invitation on that one. We know them. We know them. They've been grouchy and bitter for so long that it's got a hold of their life. It's got a hold of them so that their countenance portrays what their heart holds on to. They know that they've forgotten the things they haven't forgiven. They've gotten so much in there. And they rub off on other people. It reminds me a lot, and I preach a lot, talk about a lot, use illustrations a lot, grass burrs. Because grass burrs are things I hate. And then those grass, how they work, they have those little barbs on the end of the burr, and the barb gets into the skin and holds on to it where it won't let go. It's such an effective method of holding on to it. We've copied it and put it on fishing lures with hooks. That hook is there. It gets into you. It won't get loose. I gave away fishing hooks one time as a promotional item for my ministry. Dumbest thing I ever did. They were so good looking and so cool. There were little plugs about that long with treble hooks hanging off of it. And they had little plastic protectors over the treble hook. And I gave it away at a meeting of state directors. People that, you know, we're supposed to know better. We were at a meeting of state directors. The guy sitting next to me is looking at it. He plays with it long enough that he gets the hook stuck in his finger while we're having the business meeting. And it's stuck in there and he's bleeding all over the paper. And he says, well, I guess I'm going to have to go to the hospital. And I say to him, if you let me just push that thing on through, we can get it out of there right here. And he said, no, we're not going to do that. I don't want that that pain. I had to take him to the hospital to get that hook removed from his hand because the barb had taken on such a hold on him. Bitterness and anger has a hold on us. If we let it, we let anger, we let upsetness, we let frustration, we let judgment of other people, we let that get a hold in us, it sticks to us. And like a grass burr, by the way, that grass burr is meant, that's a nature's way of planting seeds somewhere else. It grabs a hold, gets on your pants, goes down the road, gets in a field, and you got another field of grass burrs, and they've spread it. And that's what anger and frustration and unforgiveness does in the church, is when one person has the bitterness in them, and that's their countenance of who they are, and they don't let go of that, it spreads to other people and lays hold to them and their spirits too. Now, I could give you a list of names of people I know that spread bitter spirits. Probably done it myself from time to time. Hanging on to something too long. The writer of this, Matthew, in chapter 18, he is saying in the very first part of this chapter, he's talking about the little believers. Those that are new converts. He brings the child to him. He draws the comparison of a child being innocent and fragile and also has flaws. He's bringing that example to the life of a new believer, a new follower in Christ. He's preparing them for days to come. And we can read the rest of the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul is dealing with conflict in the church throughout the epistles. Every book, you open it up, you read that book, you're going to find some element of conflict that's happened, some unforgiveness, some ungodliness, some unChristlikeness that's happened in the church. And he's addressing that. You particularly can find it in the Corinthian church. You can find things going on there that people are not letting go of. The barbs have hooks in them. And then you have the Apostle Paul going into all the world in the book of Acts. And when he's doing that, he's constantly confronting conflict. Jesus is preparing them for that. He's giving them the tools they need to get themselves to the point they can see another person with the eyes of God. They can see them with the ability to show mercy and forgiveness. Now, they don't get there, but they're getting there. You know, if there's one phrase I want us to hang on to from this passage today, is that we are never more like Jesus than when we forgive. We're never more like Jesus than when we forgive. Because you see all through Scripture, from the beginning to the end, you can open up a search engine and type in there forgiveness in Scripture, and in that search engine would list out page after page after page after page of Scripture that deals with forgiveness and mercy. The Lord, that's His theme. That's His theme, forgiveness and mercy. Chapter 18, verse 21, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me up to 7 times? And of course, that, you know the answer to that. Jesus answered, He says, I tell you not 7 times, but 77 times. We know that Peter was looking for an end to his frustration of dealing with people that he needed to forgive. And there will be no end to the frustration that you may have in people that you need to forgive in your life. We need to continue to forgive on through time. I thought it'd be better when I got older. It just got worse. But just more people. More people that have to be forgiven. more things that have to be let go of. Jesus is saying, just like you overlook the sins and you forgive the sins of these little ones, and you don't just do it once or twice, you do it all the time. All the time. You continue to forgive. Verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him, and since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. Now, we know from reading Scripture, we know from time and studying this passage, this is a parallel to us, the great forgiveness that we have on this grand scale of forgiveness for sin. Jesus, on the cross, dying for your sins, resurrected from the dead, overcame death, he cleansed you, wiped all your debts free. You have Jesus in your life, you have been wiped free. All the barbs have been cut loose. You've been forgiven. So we get that parallel from that passage. But here's what this guy does. Verse 29. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me. I will pay it back. So if somebody, I went too soon here. Let's go back up. Verse 28. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could not pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in and said, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. What he says in that last passage, that last verse there, is that is the example the Master, the Father, has forgiven you. You must forgive others. You must. This passage is telling us we have to forgive people. Those things that are in our closet that's so deeply packed in there have to be cleaned out. We have to make a list, check it twice, and forgive the people that we need to forgive. And there's some forgiving that needs to be done that is big. It's big. For some, that's small. But it has to be done. You know, I researched the medical effect of unforgiveness on humans, and believe it or not, it's real. There's an impact of being an unforgiving person on your body. If you don't forgive, you have higher cholesterol. Anybody got high cholesterol? If you don't forgive, you'll have high blood pressure. You have high blood pressure, you have other things that are related to that, you have anxiety and depression. Johns Hopkins University says that those are all symptoms of unforgiveness. It affects you. Holding on to things affects you. It not only affects you in the moment, but it's cumulative over time. It will help you in your health to let go, to clean the closet out, get rid of the stuff. You need to let it go. Here's what we find from this passage is forgiveness is the foundation of Christianity. It's the foundation of who we are. We must be people that forgive. Second thing I want us to be reminded of out of this passage is that you will be offended in life. You'll be offended. You know, some people are offended too easy, and I could jump off track here and talk about snowflake people and all that kind of stuff. They've always existed. Those people have always existed. People that are easily offended. Matter of fact, you know, we had at one of our campus ministries, we had a annual event called the Luau, and the Luau would attract great big people, and there would be a typical Hawaiian theme, and they would hand out the leis, and they'd wear the leis, and they'd have a pig that'd be roasted, and all that fun stuff. It was an incredible event. You know, hundreds and hundreds of people show up for it, and someone complained because that it was offending Hawaiian culture to be having a luau and not asking their permission. Now, y'all believe that's true? They got offended that easy? It happened in a bunch of places. We can't do a lot of things now because people are so easily offended. By the way, it's happening tomorrow night. It's called the Beach Bash now. People get offended easily, and you will offend people. You will be offended, and you will offend others. So forgiveness is absolutely necessary for the people of God if we're to look like Jesus. You think I'm unhappy that we had to change the name of this event? It's just a party. Change the name. I don't want someone to stumble because we got a name of a party. We had to move on. First, there's the fourth thing. Unforgiveness sticks to you like a disease, which forgiveness is the only cure. Unforgiveness sticks to you with the barbs of hate. Fifth thing is, I've said this before to begin the sermon, you're never more like Jesus than when you forgive people. But I wonder if it would be true that we could reverse that and say we're never more like the devil when we hang on to anger and hate. It is true for the church. When the church can't get along, the church can't relate, family can't get along and forgive, it causes pain that is demonic. I want to look at a couple of texts of Scripture about forgiveness to show the how it's wove in and out of our lives all the way back from the beginning, Leviticus 19:18. Leviticus 19:18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. Now look out to get even. Forgive your neighbor. Daniel 9:9. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. His mercy is greater than anything we could ever approach on the human level. He loves us greatly. And forgiveness and mercy are inextricably linked in the body of Christ. It's together. We have to have mercy, and we have to forgive and have compassion towards somebody that's offended us and harmed us. Colossians 1:13-14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He has brought us out and forgiven us and set us free. And then in Paul, talking to the Colossians, a very positive epistle. Lots of incredible doctrine comes out of the book of Colossians. And he says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Well, that's a lot of commands of forgiveness, isn't it? It's a lot. It's very clear in the New Testament. It's very clear from the teachings of Jesus that we're to be people of mercy and forgiveness in the world. Now, you know, last week we made a list of people that we want to reach out to. This week I want you to make a list of people you need to forgive. You can make that list in your heart. You can make it in your phone like I do. No, don't go looking at my phone and see who it is. But you can make a list of the folks that you need to forgive. The circumstances you need to forgive. You know, This is a terrible phenomenon in the church, and I know this church suffers from it because all of them do, is there are people that will get offended by one phrase spoken by a pastor and get bitter over it and hang on to it and leave the church. It's not just a pastor, by the way. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be a deacon. One phrase that they took wrong, and it gets a hook in their life. And before you know it, they've separated themselves from the church. They're going on doing something else. They don't show up on Sunday because, well, they hurt my feelings down there. Can't believe what, can you believe what that guy said? And just like a grass burr, they're spreading it to other fields. They're telling other people about the unforgiveness they have and the sin that's in their life. Now, that person might have really had something to be offended by, but if they know that this is the body of Christ, we're to bear with one another. We're to bear with one another. As we grow, we're going to do things. We're going to do things that are offending to other people. You should just assume that. We also know that we're going to show mercy, and they're going to show mercy back to us if we're people who are like Jesus. This happens in families, too. It's amazing what people hold on to a family. There can be conversations from 25 years ago, something that happened in a conversation between family members, maybe a mother or father said to a child, maybe a child said to the parents, maybe a grandparent said something, and a person is still hanging on to that baggage and not letting go. I want to challenge you today to clean the closet out. Go home and clean the closet out and make it usable. Make it something that's an important, active part of your household spiritually. Clean out the things that need to be forgiven. I want to challenge you to take it one step further. You know what the ag services that I read say that the only way to get rid of cuckoo burrs are? Now, I think cuckoo burrs are about the same as grass burrs. They're just bigger. They're in the family of a sunflower, the big old burrs. They said the only way to get rid of them is to get a hoe and cut them down. You can spray them and kill them, but the first thing it says is cut them down and get rid of them. If you have spread anger and unforgiveness to someone else, you need to go cut it down. If you said some things about somebody, if you hold a grudge and it comes out of you often, you need to make it right. Make it right. I know of one church that has a member that left. It has become their campaign to talk bad about that particular church. Can you imagine all the cuckoo burrs that are going to have to be cut down in that life? All the things are going to have to be cleaned up? Really, it's a God-sized task. Let's pray. Father, you taught us today that you love us so greatly and you care about us and show mercy on us to such an extent that we have been completely forgiven for all the offenses that we have made against you. The people that love you, that know you, that have Jesus in their heart, have a fresh new life, and that fresh new life is free. Free of pain and judgment because of your sacrifice made. But you also taught us that we have to be people like Jesus. We need to forgive people. And Lord, that I know that how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit has convicted us in this room. When the word is read and preached, we get convicted. And that conviction is a movement toward cleansing. And Father, I pray that there are people here that will just confess to you right now. Confess, I have unforgiveness in my heart. I need to let go. I need to forgive. And Father, I pray that you give them healing in their spirit and healing in their body and healing in their family and healing in this church because they have forgiven someone that has offended them. And let go. And Lord, you bring newness to this body because of that movement of forgiveness. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.